grace be yours, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During this new church year that begins today, our gospel lessons will be taken primarily from the Gospels of Mark and John, with an occasional reading from St. Luke. I've decided this year, as the translation to use for my sermon will be the new NIV 11 that many of you have probably heard about. Our Pew Bibles are NIV 84. So throughout this year, if you want to get a sense of the difference between the two, you might follow along in your Pew Bible with the reading of the sermon text, and you'll be able to get some sense if and when there are some differences in the translation. So we begin this morning in St. Mark. Our text is recorded in chapter 13, beginning at verse 32. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. These are the words of our Savior Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, I read an article in a religious periodical entitled, How to Spur On or Stir a Sleeping Giant. How to Stir a Sleeping Giant. The sleeping giant in that article is the church. Not a particular congregation like Bethlehem or a particular denomination like Lutheran or Catholic or Baptist, but rather it is the Catholic Church, small c, which means universal. The article was talking about the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, all believers in Christ. And what it brought about the article was the author's concern about some statistics that he had read. And they were troubling to him. And the statistics were that in the Christian church, about 15% of believers are doing 85% of the work. The question always is, how do we change that? How would you change it? Maybe a better question is, with whom would you begin to change it? So that we might begin with ourselves as believers, as we prepare to welcome our Lord Jesus Christ into Bethlehem, as we always prepare our hearts to repentance to welcome Him through the gospel and word and sacrament into our hearts, as we prepare to welcome Jesus, as we talked about the last few weeks when He comes to judge the living and the dead, and to give believers that kingdom prepared for us before the creation of the world, our Lord Jesus wants to stir us to action. Jesus spoke these words shortly before He died on the cross to pay the price and redeem us from all of our sins. And with these words, He wants to stir His church to action. He wants them to be alert, to be awake, to be ready when He returns. And so this morning, we take a look at what we can learn here we take a look at what Jesus' exhortations tied to a mini parable can teach us. And here's what it teaches us, that it's no good to be found sleeping when the Master returns. Well, see, first of all, that we know the Lord is going to come again. We just don't know when. And we also know that the Lord, our Master, has given each of us tasks to do while we wait. As we go through the four Sundays of Advent, unless God takes His church into heaven in the meantime, we'll see that each Sunday has just a little bit different view of our preparation for Jesus' Advent. And this morning we indicated what it is this week in our Advent litany, and we'll continue to do that. And this morning it was what? Watchfulness. Watching, looking for our Lord Jesus' return. We are watching and waiting to celebrate the Savior's birth, to receive the gospel in repentant hearts, to be ready when the trumpet sounds and He returns to judge the world. Jesus' words to His disciples and to us are really to wake us up. It's like splashing cold water in your face when your eyes get heavy. That usually happens to me about the O'Hare Plaza when I'm driving to Wisconsin. You know, my eyes start to droop a little bit and I'm getting drowsy. So I go in the men's room and splash cold water on my face. And that wakes me up. It makes me alert and watchful for the rest of the trip. So Jesus says, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. And Jesus says that in that great mystery of the two natures of Christ, that even He, according to His human nature, does not know when that's going to be. The angels don't even know when the end of the world is going to be. Only the Father knows when Christ is coming again. When our Lord comes again, He will not come to bear our sins as He came the first time, but He will come to gather His church from the north and the south and the east and the west. He will gather that giant to Himself to take to paradise. The time, the hour, the day, could be any hour. It could be any day. And that's why we have to be on guard. Do you think of a sport where they use that term, on guard? Fencing. And what does that mean? It means something's going to happen pretty soon, and you better be ready. Quit looking around. Quit preparing your equipment. On guard. Look. Because in any instant, something is going to happen. Jesus says, be on guard. That word literally means, don't become drowsy. Fight to stay awake, like a guard would do, standing at a post. And then Jesus says, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. That means look. Keep a lookout. Keep looking for something that we know is going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to. Now, sometimes we want to describe Jesus' second coming as unexpected. But when you think about it, is it really unexpected? For unbelievers, it's going to be pretty unexpected. But for believers, it's not, is it? Because we expect it any minute now. We expect it any hour, any day. It's going to come suddenly. It's going to come without any direct advance notice, like I'm coming tomorrow. But God has told us, Jesus has told us, I am coming again. And so we know that that's going to happen. The master teacher uses a mini parable to teach his point. He said it's like a man going away. The master of the house leaves for a while on a trip, but then he puts his servants in charge of his house. And he gives them specific tasks that they are supposed to do. And then he assigns one of them the special task of being the watchman, the doorkeeper, to keep a lookout for all the servants and for him. So he can announce that the Lord is coming while we're waiting, and then here he comes. It says, when the owner of the house will come back. They don't know. We don't know that. Whether in the evening, at midnight, when the rooster crows, or at dawn. And those are the different watches of the day. The evening watch, the midnight watch, the pre-dawn watch, and the morning watch. Did you get a sense of urgency in Jesus' words? There is a sense of urgency in Advent. The urgency to be prepared. To not get tired of waiting. To not get careless. To not be so busy looking around in other directions that you're not looking for and watching for Jesus to come. Our Lord Jesus' words stir us up. They urge us on. They encourage us. They splash that cold water in our faces so that you and I will be end time Christians who know we need to be alert. Not we still have a long time until the end comes Christians, so let's sleep in. Sleeping, being drowsy, has that idea of unpreparedness, of alertness. Maybe just a couple days ago we experienced that drowsiness after a big Thanksgiving meal. We can become drowsy taking in all the pleasures and all the concerns and all the interests of this life. We can begin to look around at all the things this way and stop looking this way for our Lord and Savior Jesus to return. It's not good to be found sleeping when the Master returns, because he wants us to be alert, to be on guard, to be watching for that day. We know Jesus is coming. We just don't know when. But rather than worrying specifically about when, or trying to get out a lot of charts and diagrams and pulling passages out of the Bible willy-nilly and apparently being able to figure out when Christ is going to return, which has not really happened yet and won't happen, we need to be rather busy with the tasks that he has given us while he's away. The master put those servants in charge of his house and gave them tasks to do. The house is the church. His servants are believers. He has given us tasks to do. I recall that I said in that article, and here Jesus is not talking about the tasks that we all carry out using our spiritual gifts so that Bethlehem runs smoothly. It's not the gifts that we use in any human organization. Jesus is talking about the tasks that we have as believers in the Holy Christian Church. And what are those tasks? They are to grow in knowledge of God's Word. They are to grow spiritually as we strengthen our faith through the frequent use of the means of grace. And it's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. The tasks that our Master has given us while he is away is to strengthen the cords and to lengthen the stakes, to strengthen our hearts and to share the gospel with others. Those are the tasks that we have to do that our Master has given to us. And it is good for the Lord to find us all busy with those tasks when He returns. The master of the parable would be pleased when the watchman said, "Here comes the Master," or "He's here." And everybody would have to look up from being busy with the tasks that He had given them, carrying them out faithfully as He wanted them to. There is one of the servants who has the little bit unique task, we might say, of being the doorkeeper, being the watchman, standing at the door. He is there on behalf of all the servants and himself. And that really Jesus is talking about the public ministry. Those who preach and teach God's word are really the watchmen standing high on Zion's wall in the Old Testament. The preachers and teachers of God's word today who prophesy, who speak God's word. The first Advent candle is sometimes called the prophecy candle. And that does mean telling the future or looking in hope what's coming. But it also means preaching and declaring God's word that tells us and gives us that hope that we have in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to that young watchman, Timothy, and told him how to be faithful in that position in the parable of being the watchman at the door. He wrote to Timothy, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So the watchman in the parable is reminding himself and the other servants, the master's coming back, the master's coming back. Let's be busy with the task he has given us. And then he announces, "The master is here." And then he finds us all alert, watchful, and ready. Advent begins today. It's the time to be on guard. It's time to spiritually splash cold water in our faces to get rid of the spiritual drowsiness that can infect us all. It's time to be alert, to be busy with the tasks of our Master's house. Because that's a good way to be found when the Master returns. Amen.